Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Pond hockey season on Long Island. ESPN New York wants you to be part of the action. Head to ESPNNewYork.com or the ESPN New York app for your chance to win a 60-minute time slot at the outdoor synthetic rink in the park at UBS Arena. Just scroll down to contest, submit your entry. Join the New York Islanders for some fun in February. Take advantage of special ticket pricing for upcoming home games at UBS Arena and be there for every thrilling matchup. Get your tickets today at NewYorkIslanders.com/Feb. Hey, Bart, let's talk some hockey right now.
Let's do that weekend hockey.
You got a showcase happening at MetLife Stadium. Bart, I know you're used to playing football in that stadium, but they're playing hockey there this weekend. The ice is down, and on Saturday night, under the lights, you have the Flyers and the Devils. And then Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, not kickoff now, we have puck drop at 3 o'clock, and that is the Islanders and the Rangers. And so it's exciting to see these, obviously, rivals all get together, and it's always fun to talk with one of the greats of all time in Islander history and, of course, NHL history, and that's Brian Trottier, who joins us right now. How are we doing, Brian?
Doing good, gentlemen. Thank you for this. This is going to be a fun little chat. Thank you. Thanks for the invite.
It certainly will be. I want to begin with – now, Patrick Waugh, if I'm not mistaken, when you were an assistant with the Avalanche, he was the goaltender when you won the Cup in 01, right?
I was.
I have that memory. Okay, so
– I was, yeah. And Patrick was MVP. He was spectacular. I mean, what a competitor, very intense individual. But he knows the game forwards, backwards, sideways, upside down. Inside out, you name it, way. He loves the game. He sees the game from a goaltender's perspective. So, obviously, you know, he wants to protect that goalie with all his might. But more than that, he wants puck possession. He wants the puck down in the offensive zone. And he talked about that all the time. Let's get the puck out of our zone as fast as we can. Get it down the offensive zone. Best defense, good offense. And, he's changed the system, I guess, on Long Island as far as, like, he wants quicker puck possession, quicker pressure in the defensive zone. So, hopefully it adds up to a lot of wins for the Islanders.
Yeah, he took over as the coach just recently, and you know, while the wins haven't piled up just yet, you're seeing not just on the ice what you're talking about, right, Brian, with the puck possession and limit the turnovers and all those things, but recently, because they had this break because of the stadium series, he ran them through a tough practice. Like, he had them a lot of compete drills, and he brought up the idea that they have to raise their compete level. I mean, it's amazing to think in the midst of a season that you are saying that about a team, but that certainly sounds like the message that he's trying to deliver to this team.
Well, Patrick has a wonderful community. Like, he can communicate clear with everybody. Like, he wanted his defenseman to understand what he was saying. He also wanted the forwards' backside pressure. He wanted to have that pressure so that it forced turnovers, forced them to make decisions before they were ready. So, yeah, compete level, Patrick knows what he's talking about. And, those are buzzwords for players. They love that compete level. They love that. So, I know Patrick. I know him as a hockey player. I don't know him as a coach, but I know him as a communicator. In that locker room, he's a voice for that Avalanche. And, guys, his perfect respect, you know, of everybody. So, the players are going to listen, and those are buzzwords for players. You know, it can raise that compete level. You got it. No problem.
How difficult is it to change a culture of a team in the middle of a season without having the opportunity to continue to, like, pay it forward, right, when you can work on something in practice and then build on it the next day and then see it implemented maybe in preseason games? How hard is it for you to change the culture and the mindset of a team in the midst of the season?
Well, it's more systems than it is culture. I think Lou Lamoriello's that's really got a good culture there as far as what it means to be an Islander, what it means to represent Long Island, what it means to compete at a Long Island level. But I think for Patrick, it's more about system. It's more about recognizing job dependability, what your role is, and those kinds of things. And yeah, you'd like to have some lead down going into the season, but there's injury. There's trades. There's things that happen where players hit slumps and goaltenders hit slumps, and then you got to adjust. And Patrick's seen it all, and the team has seen players that have been there for a while have seen that too. So it's all about adjustment as fast as you can, as quick as you can. And sometimes it's during a game. You know, you're playing a certain team, you have prep for them, all of a sudden, you know, they're doing something and somebody comes back to the bench and says, hey, you know, we gotta make adjustment, boom, and it's done. And so we know that as athletes, you know, there's adjustments you have to make along the way, through the season, a long season, injuries, and then even during the game. So those are challenges, and that's part of being a professional. I think all the boys recognize that, and we know that. And as you become more of a seasoned veteran, I think it's a lot easier to make those adjustments.
And we're talking with the great Brian Trottier again this weekend. You've got the Stadium Series at MetLife Stadium, the Flyers and the Devils on Saturday night, Rangers-Islanders, 3 o'clock on Sunday at MetLife as well. And Brian, you've been through, I mean, the classic wars, Islanders-Rangers games. You ended up coaching the Rangers for a bit too as well, which is another part
side?
Of the story. But Bart, I want you to know, so Brian, Bart is from Detroit. He's from Michigan.
Hockey town.
And he's a big Red Wings guy. And I always
hockey country in Michigan. We like it.
Yeah, and you know Steve Yzerman wore number 19 because he idolized Brian Trottier. I mean, that was his guy.
Ah, that was a wonderful honor. Little Stevie, yeah. He was a dynamic player. I was kind of a give and go, just simple. I simplified the game for everybody. Pass to the right side, let Mike Fossey do his magic. You know, big Clark Gillies in front of the net, throw it there, get like, you know, he's gonna get a juicy rebound. You know, we had our game pretty simplified.
Listen,
but
to
you
the
know,
man
Stevie Yzerman, what a talent, yeah.
Brian, it's amazing.
I mean, listen, he has one for the thumb and the index. So, listen, anybody that accomplishes that, man, that's rarefied air.
Yes. Brian has 7. Yeah. He's being very humble right now, talking about this is a guy that's like one of the top 15 in scoring all time in playoff history and NHL history, all the stuff that he's done. And he's like, I just kept it simple. Sure, you did, but that's fine. But
you guys are good. You guys are good for my ego here. This is a fun call.
Well, I want to make sure the audience knows exactly who we're talking to. Here because you know, I mean, we're talking about royalty, but what do you think about playing in a stadium like this? I mean, you've played in many different places, but can you imagine playing in a football stadium?
I cannot. And we had the fun of being at MetLife for the announcement with the NHL when the games were and driving up to that building, it's like driving to another planet. It's like driving up, this thing is so colossal and magnificent. And when you look down into the field, you say, wow, they're going to have 80,000 people in this place. I mean, the magnitude of this is just spectacular. And I think it's going to bring out the best. You have a great rivalry with the Islanders and Rangers. You have this grand stage for them to perform on and in outdoor atmosphere. So, I knock on wood, the weather provides the clear air and that kind of stuff. But boy, I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be magnificent. I'm going to be in attendance, which makes it even more fun because now you feel the vibe of it all. So that's always extra exciting. So yeah, no, this is going to be a fun event for all players, fans, hockey viewers. It's going to be great.
Tell them you want to be in the coaches' club. That way, if you get a little nippy, you know what I mean? Because we're former tough guys, but we don't have to be tough anymore. We get a little chilly now. So be in the coaches' club so you can go in and get some hot cocoa if you want to. But, you know, I'm just thinking about the game and outside and, you know, how that game is different from being inside of an arena when you think about the lights that come off, you know, stadiums and, you know, bouncing off of that white ice. And, you know, is it anything that you have to prepare? Will guys get opportunity maybe to play outside or test it out before to kind of see what adjustments they need to make?
I'm sure there is. I was only involved in one outdoor game. It was an alumni game in Washington Capitals back in like mid-2000s. And we had Marilyn Mew on our side. They had Peter Bondra and some of their stars from that era, and it was really kind of fun. We played at 9 o'clock in the morning. The sun was shining. The rest of the day was kind of drizzly, rainy, but it was really fun to be outdoors in that. I think it's the bright light of the day, and you don't really notice the lights so much because I think the Islanders Ranger game starts at 3,
right.
So they'll have the afternoon, you know, sky, and they'll have that outdoor feeling. Brings us back to our roots when we're playing hockey outside on. Whether it's a lake, a pond, a river, like I did, and it's really kind of neat to have that sensation, that feeling of, you know, the fresh air in your face, the the outdoors, the light, this big sky, and all of a sudden, and then they have 80,000 people screaming at you. Holy cow. Whether they're on your side or not, you're going to have some noise in that building.
Yeah. And again, Sunday is supposed to be sunny, clear day. You know, the high it's going to get is like in the high 30s. It might not even touch 40. So it's almost like the perfect kind of weather. Although, again, with the sun, it can get a little bright in there. And Bart played for the Jets, so he run through that tunnel many times, but that field was green.
It
looked a lot
different.
And right, and it was also in the fall, so a little bit different. But Brian, speaking of the fact that it is a football field and we just had a Super Bowl, you're a guy that, again, is part of something that I don't think we're ever going to see again in professional sports for various reasons. One of them, of course, being salary cap era and everything else. But winning four straight championships is something that no one has done since you guys have done it. And here's the Kansas City Chiefs that come along. They've won two, and they're already talking about winning three. Now, you won four in a row, and then with Pittsburgh, you won two in a row. Just talk about the challenges of being able to sustain the true dynasty of three straight and how difficult it is to do.
And I think we were just young and dumb again. I think just a bunch of kids that were just having the time of their life. We had no free agency. So the core of the team, I think there was 14 or 15 of us that were on that team, all four cups. So they kept the core of the team together. Obviously, there's four or five of us that made the Hall of Fame. So you have that high level talent at the top. And with free agency, and you see teams moving those guys. They can't afford to the salary cap, and they can't afford to keep everybody. That makes it difficult to have that continuity. Obviously, so for me, it's just what we did was overcome the bad bounce, the referee call, the things that you can't control, but you still have to overcome and take advantage of situations that happen. It's a bad bounce against them. Maybe it's an unfortunate mistake or a referee call that goes against them. You got to be able to ready to jump on those opportunities. And guys coming up with big plays. Bobby Nysum scores the overtime goal. And Bobby scored a lot of overtime goals. But you have the players that score those big goals and feel confident and comfortable to do that. And poise takes over, obviously. There's experience. I think that plays a big role. And you got to have a coach that, at the helm that brings the calm or raise the intensity, has a system, has all those things that everybody buys into and believes in. And great goaltending. Power play, penalty killing, those things have to be, peaked at the right time. And ours did during those 4 years. I think our power play was clipped along at like plus 20%. So, all those things have to happen and work out to your way, but at the same time, you have to take advantage of them. So, it's going to be tough to do, but, like you look at what Kansas City's done on the field, they keep those guys healthy and they all stay healthy. They might be able to accomplish something that's going to make this very, very hard to do.
So we were past the statute of limitations, which are great teams. So I guess we can keep it real and we won't be telling any trade secrets, right? Like I'm from Motown and I'm a big Temptations fan, but at one point, David Ruffin started feeling himself because they were so successful. They were just putting hit out after hit after hit after hit out. Who was on your squad that was like, hey man, y'all had to go ahead and bring him back to earth because he was floating on cloud nine? Like, hey man, you need to pump it down a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, coming into the room like the champ is here. You know what I'm saying? just living the life. Who was that you guys had to pump his brakes a little bit?
We had a great squad, and obviously there's times where guys are riding the high, they're riding the wave, and they're scoring goals. But I'm really proud of the hockey guys. They kind of keep it level headed, and the locker room as a whole will keep the guys kind of mellowed. Even if they do try to ride high, but our crew is kind of good that way. Very confident group. Not too cocky, that edge of cocky that you need, but also, to the point where, it's confidence, team's confidence, and guys would come in like and say, who's going to score that big goal? And four or five, I will. That's what you want to hear in the locker room. You want to hear that.
So, after three, nobody got a personal driver. After three, nobody got a personal driver and a personal limo. Nobody.
No. But I tell you, we'd be wanting to drive that guy if he got more than three in a Stanley Cup playoff game, man. That was the guy who wanted to jump on his back. But we had that guy, Mario Lemieux, in Pittsburgh. So, we all jumped on his back quite a bit. But, he was not a meme-y kind of hockey guy. He was the guy that distributed well. And, again, a poised guy who just had a confidence and made the big plays. And it's wonderful to have those kind of players on any team, as you know, Bart. It's great.
I'll tell you what, I think, Brian, because I know we've had you on the show before a couple of years ago, and I might have asked you this question, but I'm going to bring it up again because it's fascinating to me. And again, the connection to football. Every year that teams in the NFL that you don't have a perfect season, and no one goes, you know, 17-0 and then wins the Super Bowl, runs the table, basically. The 72 Miami yep. Dolphins, they always pop champagne, the remaining players.
Amazing.
And they celebrate because no one will do what we did, right? No one's going to do it. And so we live in infamy, or maybe I shouldn't say infamy, but in history. And I wonder yep. if, like, do you guys ever, when, oh, there's a team, like the Lightning were recently, they right? They had won three. They were trying to win three. Do you guys have that thing where you like the minute a team loses, I see nobody's going to get forward, nobody's going to do it, we're going to be the last to do it? Do you celebrate that?
We don't celebrate it, but we really kind of fun to talk about some of these things, like the 19 series we won in a row.
Yeah.
19 is a kind of a favorite number of mine. I wore that number, called the best number in hockey, but we won 19 series in a row. That's going to be tough to do because, like you said, you know, keeping teams together and free agents, all that fun stuff, and staying healthy. But I think for us, that's kind of the one that we're really proud of. And Dennis Potvin, our captain, he brings it up a lot. And to a man, we kind of like puff our chest a little bit, you know, sure. pop the buttons on our shirt. We're like, wow, that's, and I, me and 19, I'm like, all right, that is kind of a fun little record. And when someone it's going to take a while for someone to come close to that. So, yeah, they got to win four Stanley Cups. They got to go four rounds every year. It's a tough one. So that's going to be one of those ones where we might hold on to that one for a while, but we're not going to be the ones that make the hockey gods mad at us and start popping champagne because someone's going to come along. Okay, Islanders, you guys are gone.
Yeah.
But no, that's going to be a fun one to hold on to.
Yeah, the minute you start chirping about it, that's when you know it's going to turn. So I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
We talk about records in sports all the time with Cal Ripken and games played and all the other different records that we talk about that might be never to be broken. And that 19 consecutive playoff series, that's one that I think will never, ever be broken for various reasons, but how difficult it certainly was. Brian, it's always fun to talk to you. It really is. Thank you so much for giving us the time. Enjoy the day on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun, a great day for hockey at MetLife Stadium. All the best to you.
It's going to be a great day, and thank you, guys. This was a fun phone call. Thank you very much.
All the best.
Stay well, gang. Bye-bye.
You got it. Brian Trottier, again, I could go through the accolades part. I mean, 9 All-Star selections. He was a first-team NHL several times. Won the Rookie of the Year, which is the Calder. Won the Art Ross, which is the scoring title. Won the Hart for the MVP of the league. The Conn Smythe is MVP of the playoffs. Like this, and then the 7 Stanley Cups. 6 as a player with 2 different franchises. 4 straight. The 19 in a row playoff series he told you about. The countless times that he had heroic moments in the playoffs. Considered the greatest, or maybe even the... He and Dennis Potvin are pretty much the two greatest players in the history of the franchise.
Yep.
Like this is the foundation. So the current team, that's the standard you're held to, right? And that's what he was talking about with Patrick Waugh as the coach, is there's a standard and not everybody really understands it. And Patrick Waugh comes in understanding it. And so they're trying to get him back certainly to that standard. But I thought you'd like that connection to Steve Yzerman. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that. That's why Stevie Y wore 19. I thought it was because 19. He was 19. He was the youngest captain in NHL history.
No, Yzerman has said it many times that Trache was his idol. He grew up idolizing the way he played and wanted to be just like that, which is a great two-way center. And that's what Trache was. So,
well, hey, thank you, Islanders and Trache, for, you know, creating the greatest captain of in NHL history.
Do you think that anybody will ever win 4 straight championships in any of the major sports?
No. I mean, this is, I think, that era when, you know, you think about the Celtics, the Bill Russell Celtics. You think about the Steel Curtain and what they were able to do in the 70s with
4 and
winning
5,
all those times. Yeah. Because of free agency, it's the inability and the fact that you can get out of your contract and demand more money, hold out. It's unsustainable. You can't keep it up like that way because every time somebody has success, they're going to want more money. And back in the day, they didn't do that. They just showed up and honored their contract.
And injuries too, by the way. Injuries are another big part of it. And he mentioned that. You got to avoid the injury bug. You got to stay healthy. And they were remarkably healthy throughout those 4 years. And it wasn't until the 5th year. Now, he says the 19 straight. 20 straight would have gotten them a fifth straight Stanley Cup. They lost in the finals of the fifth year. So they got all the way to the finals and lost. And so, you know, they lost to the Oilers, who were just turned out to be one of the great teams of all time, Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, and all of them. But, you know, even still, getting to the finals in the fifth year is an incredible thing to do. And you have to stay relatively healthy. By that fifth year, they got to the finals, everybody was banged up. Like, they just finally ran out of gas. They finally were beat up, where Bossy's back was all jacked up, where Potvin was injured, and their goaltender, Billy Smith, was doing all he could just to keep him in games. It was a remarkable run, but the health part of it, especially in today's sports where guys are – it just seems like no one plays through things anymore for right. obvious reasons.
You got to be 100%.
What? Man, I just don't know if we're ever going to see that one. I think that one, like the Cal Ripken one, that's going to be difficult to break.
And Cal like could do something that, you know, basketball players can't do with the new rule. Kyle just dress and not really ever go out there in that county. Now, I was there during that time, and there was a lot of times where Cal didn't play, but he really dressed and went out there for whatever was standard, and he can go sit back down.
You could DH.
Yeah.
But it's still, to win 19 straight playoff series, that is something I don't think we're ever going to see.
Nah, I'm with you on that one.
Well, again, so this is the games are this weekend. As I mentioned, it's Flyers and Devils. It's all on ABC at MetLife Stadium. Flyers Devils Saturday night, 8 o'clock, and then 3 o'clock, Islanders Rangers, the classic rivalry matchup. Again, also on ABC. And just so everybody knows, the Islanders are hosting a watch party at the park at UBS Arena. If you can't make it out to MetLife, you just go do this. And you got Bob Nyshon will be there for a meet and greet, another part of the Cup teams. You can do some skating sessions on the ponds that they have set up there, giving away some stuff as well. You just go to islanders.com/party if you want more information. But it all starts at 1:30. The game starts at 3. You can skate even during the game and all that stuff. A lot of fun there at UBS Arena. 800-919-3776 is the number. I think I added a 7. But anyways, coming up, we have audio files. So stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. While the offseason has not exactly been a blockbuster one for New York Met fans in terms of the signings and moves made, and it could really turn ugly considering the possibility of a trade for Pete Alonso during the season. Earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave were talking about whether or not the Mets need to trade Alonso.
If you're not going to have him next year, you have to trade him. You say that, but what all of a sudden you're sitting there in the middle of in the playoffs? You're sitting there with a wild card spot. You're going to trade him?
I think you have to.
I don't know how you can.
Well, maybe I get pieces back that can help me right now.
Yeah, what kind of pieces, though? What are you? That's the other thing, though. You're trading him for what?
If I know I'm going to lose him and my intent is to not re-sign him, I have to trade him.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
How old is Ice-T now? It's his birthday today.
I would probably say Birdman is 55, so I'm going to say he around that time. Birdman, I didn't know if it was 55. Stunt like your daddy. So he got to be like, what, 58?
66 today.
Damn, he's 10 years older than Birdman? You listen, we got to start giving him respect. Like, I was making fun of Ice-T because he looking great, mad old on those commercials with Vivica Fox talking about car insurance. But at 66, that's somebody's grandpa. Damn, he got a young kid. Like, man.
It is funny to see him, though, in those commercials. Like, when you consider the character that he has developed throughout his career as a no-nonsense tough guy.
Play the same person, but he's playing a detective. So, like, the guy that was talking about Cop Killer and all that type of stuff and all that stuff, like, has made his majority of his roles in his life was a cop. Whether you talk about New Jack City or whether you're talking about – and then the thing is, people don't realize – I know that he was a show enough pimp. So anybody ever remember Real Sex on HBO? Like, it was a episode where they had the players ball, and it was the real players, and they were giving out the players, and he was the host. And this was probably like 30 years ago.
Hmm.
And he had like, he was a real pimps, Magic Don Juan, Pimpin' Ken, all the greats that, you know, all my heroes that I look up to, you know what I'm saying?
The thing is wild because he kind of like has been dual coast, right? Like he's a New Jersey guy. He's from Newark.
I never knew he was from Newark. I always thought he was a L.A. guy.
Yeah, but he became an L.A. guy. But he's from this coast, but he had that sound, right? Like he did have that sound. I mean, his Six in the Morning, if you remember, he does talk
six
about
in
coming
the morning,
to New York.
Yeah, my joke.
But he does talk about coming to New York. Like the end of it is him being in New York.
But he talked like a pimp, like he's from L.A. So he must have been. He must have been born. He must have been grew up there during the influential times. I know he was in the Army too. People don't realize that he was in the Army too.
Yeah, that's why. Again, he's been Law and Order. He's been
66.
Yeah,
this dude ain't older than Ben Vereen.
I don't know if he's older than Ben Vereen, but
well, 66 though. Yeah, this dude almost a 70 burger, and he's still banging out Coco like that. He got a daughter that's like what 15, like 13,
and he and
10?
Coco, they've been together a long time now.
Yeah,
right?
For a pimp, he showed up, got him a bottom. I mean, I'm speaking in his talk,
yes,
his pimp talk. Yeah, he called the bottom one your bottom, your main.
Okay. Well, yes, he was. He was in the Army.
Yeah, and he was a pimp.
Yeah.
Lemonade, read the sign. Lemonade.
And he grew up. He was like also.
See, he's got great acting chops.
He
can be funny.
Yeah.
Like he can deliver lines like really well because he can be funny. But you and I both have discussed this before. The most the creepiest yet effective line ever he has dropped.
Yeah.
Right. I want to shoot you so bad.
It's so hard.
Like how many times? How many takes?
It's so hard.
When he says it, and you just like because when you watch the movie the first time, you don't really hear what he's saying. You're just caught up in the moment. Like, come on. You want to shoot him? You get all fired up. Then you watch it the second time. You're like, what did he just say?
Yeah, like, hold on.
That's a kind of weird thing to say to somebody.
Like, why is it ready?
Why would you say that?
Why is it hyped up?
Like they didn't go, all right, cut. And then somebody goes, what made you say that?
Did you have jogging? I wonder if he freestyled that. Like, yo, just be in your moment. Like, what?
What made you say that? That's weird. Mario Van Peebles looked at him like, dude, what?
Like, cut.
That's what you came up with?
That's what you want, man. Print it.
Like, if we ever could get him on the show, I would love to ask him that.
Like, who wrote that? Were you improv?
Was that improv that line? When they used that version of all the takes you had, that's the one they put in the movie. Were you watching the movie and you went, oh man, like why did they use that?
Like, how crazy was the other takes?
Right, if that was the one that they
shoot you so hard, I want to shoot you so bad, I got elephantitis. What the hell?
Oh my god! If you haven't seen the movie now, you need to just for that scene.
Rock-a-bye, baby.
It's time. It's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio File.
The Audio File.
So did you see that clip that had gone around? Steph Curry was, I guess it was the end of a game, a recent game, not one last night.
Ah.
And Klay was in his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And Steph put his hand out to give fives, and Klay just kind of blew him off.
Up and rubbed his hands together.
And then Steph just kind of like shrugged, like, what's that about? And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, like I know you okayed the code red.
And Splash Brothers is about to go the way of the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, the next game happens, and guess who's now no longer a starter? After all season long of discussing it, Klay Thompson finally came off the bench for the first time since his rookie season. And Klay Thompson against the Jazz played 28 minutes. How did he handle it, Bart? He hit 7 threes and put up 35 points. It's a pretty good performance. It also suggests that maybe it was the right idea, because going up against the other team's backups is a little bit easier to do. Now, the Warriors built a big lead, but ended up having to hold on desperately to get a win, 140-137. Yes, that was a regulation score. Take the over. 140-137. Damn. But after the game, Steve Kerr talked about the plan of having Klay come off the bench.
You know, a million big shots. I've seen him guard the toughest guys in the league. Klay's a champion. He's an incredible player, great person. I've been blessed to coach him for 10 years. It's been a tricky season for him and for us. There's a lot of transition happening. Some of our younger guys are coming on. It's not as easy to do, you know, what Klay did 5-6 years ago for him. I think this could be a, you know, a good balance to get the best out of Klay and to get the best out of our team.
Remember, it took Carmelo Anthony a while to finally accept it. Guys, it's hard for them to accept Father Time and the reality of, hey, listen, man, you're not playing starter level anymore, but you can still help us as a reserve. So here's Klay talking about coming off the bench.
Me and Steve had a good talk about it. You know, you could do two things. You can pout, or you can go out there and respond. And I thought I did the latter very well tonight, especially no turnovers, and I missed a few box outs though. But more importantly, I realized I'm going to play a ton of minutes. So you just got to let the ego go when you think of coming off the bench and all that. I thought about Manu Ginobili. That guy has 4 rings and gold medal, and he came off the bench his whole career. And I don't think anyone looks down on his Hall of Fame candidacy. He's one of the greats, and I thought I embraced it before tip. I mean, I deserved it, really. I didn't respond to the not playing at the end of the game well last night. I kind of took it out on the assistant coaches, and I apologized to those guys before the game. And I think that really let my guard down and let me just be myself out there.
Bart, how hard is it for an athlete that has been so used to dominating his sport and being one of the better players to come to that kind of realization? Like, you're fighting it and fighting it until you're like, everybody's now telling you, but it's time. It's time. And you don't want to believe it.
Well, you know what makes it hard? Steph Curry. Yeah. Because Steph Curry is like, y'all supposed to be together. The same. Y'all both have went to the top, like, yeah. And he's still good and you're not. And you're trying to say, like, what makes I'm a Hall of Famer and he's a Hall of Famer, but what makes him better than me that he's able to still perform at this level? And part of it, he didn't have the major catastrophic injuries that Klay had.
That's
and
right.
Maybe Klay has a bit of jealousy there. That's like, man, like, I'm mortal now. Like, he's still a superhero, and I'm mortal, and you have to accept that. And, you know, that's the toughest thing for an athlete when you can't do – when your body won't do what your mind tells it to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, the injuries are definitely the biggest part of this whole thing, right? Well, let's move on in audio files to another game from last night, and this one was kind of a shocker. But then again, if you've been watching and paying attention – not so much. The Memphis Grizzlies. You talk about the Knicks being banged up. The Grizzlies are missing 10 players. 10 off their roster. They have a whole bunch of young players and a couple of G League guys, and they are just slapping it together. Taylor Jenkins, by the way, doing a terrific job just keeping them competitive. I mean, they are way under 500. They're not going to make the playoffs. But last night, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks. 113-110. Yes, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
You're talking about the Cabo Bucks? The Cabo Bucks?
No. Yeah, well, the Cabo Bucks is what Doc Rivers was suggesting after the game.
Two guys forget what we're running. Then we miss the shot, and then nobody gets back. That's how we start out the third quarter. That tells you all you need to know about where our heads were. We had some guys here, and we had some guys in Cabo.
Some guys here. Some guys in Cabo.
Yo, he ordering the cold red on himself. Is his money guaranteed?
Well, yeah, they signed him for the rest of the year.
Giannis might want to get up out of there. Giannis, like, you know what? I ain't dealing with this. Hey, you know,
how do we know that Giannis isn't part of the problem? Yeah, I said it. How do we know Giannis isn't part of the problem?
My point. So now
you know, is Dame Lillard part of the problem? Because he can't guard anybody?
Now he can come to the Knicks. They 3-7, man. 3-7.
Under him.
That's what I'm saying.
But since they fired, think about this. I mean, they're what are they 5-9, 5-8?
He shouldn't even be coaching the All-Star game. Like, bro, you 3-7.
Nah. He was 30-13, and they've lost 8 of 13 since then. And it's not like they have injuries. They have all their guys.
Yeah.
There's a bigger problem happening in Milwaukee.
And if I'm Brooke Lopez, I'm like, look, my brother was better than your brother. Why couldn't we waive your brother for a roster spot? My brother had more left than your brother.
You know what? It's funny, but, you know, that's the – like I said, how do we know when everybody's saying that Giannis is going to want out of there, how do we know that Giannis isn't kind of part of the problem right now with what's going on there? Like, we don't know that for sure. Anyways, if I asked you, Bart, to name me, if I said to you, name a current college basketball player, go. First name that comes to mind is?
The big dude from Purdue.
So you can't even say the name, can you?
I forget. What's his name from Purdue?
Name any college – it's Zach Edey. Yeah, name Edey. Any college basketball player, male or female. Who's the first name comes to mind?
Oh, Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark. Or Angel Reese might be the second one that comes to mind.
Yeah,
right?
Caitlin Clark. She just broke the record, baby. Was that Waller's girl?
Who?
Is that Waller's girl, that record she broke? Looked like it.
Kelsey. I
know Kelsey Plum was that good.
Wife, yeah.
In college.
She was a great player.
In college, yeah.
And she's also a good WNBA player as well. So Caitlin Clark is now the all-time leading scorer in women's basketball history, and she's actually within reach of the all-time record
to be
number one overall, right, Pete Maravich. She does it on a 35-foot three-pointer, by the way, too.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate her showboating in front of my, Michigan. I didn't appreciate
that. Hey, that's too bad. Sorry about that. But still, she went for like a logo three for the record, and that was all in the plan.
I don't know if you can really script it any better. And just to do it in this fashion, I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful to be surrounded by so many people that have kind of been my foundation and everything that I've done since I was a young little girl. And I started crying watching that video just because I'm just filled with so much gratitude and love. And the way these fans support women's basketball is so much special. It's so special. And you all knew I was going to shoot a logo three for the record. Come on now.
You all knew. She got some swag, man.
She got mad swag. Like, do you think like, when you think about the great, well, I guess she's not considered a great winner because she's a great individual talent, but the team
success hasn't had it. Gotta win that national championship, right. It was Angel Reese that got that.
Yeah, yeah. But also when you think about the all-time greats, who you think? You think about Candace Parker. You think about, what's the cute
Sue
girl?
Sue Bird.
Yeah, but
I
what's
mean,
the
you
cute,
got them all.
What's the fine one that just came back? Yeah, not Maya Moore. Not Maya Moore. Yeah, Maya Moore.
She stopped playing, but she was a great college player.
What's the fine one? She just had a baby. I you know who I'm talking about. Jake know who I'm talking about. She just came back. She had a baby, and she took a year off. She's fine.
But the way that she plays, the points that she puts up, swag she plays with, the attitude. Wally Szczerbiak on CBS compared her to Steph Curry in that way because of the way she plays and that kind of like her ability to shoot the basketball. Is Caitlin Clark somebody that can elevate the women's game?
Okay, I thought you were about to say playing an NBA.
No, I'm not doing that. No, could elevate the women's game to something that continues to attract more and more attention. Well, because she's a show. Like, you watch her, she's a show.
When she gets to the WNBA, she needs a rival.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe it's Angel Reese.
Right,
because that already is there. That's there.
See, but they don't really check each other. They need a rival,
doesn't
like
matter.
Bird
and Magic didn't check each other that often.
Yeah, but they were about the same size and same.
Yeah, position, but they were different positions. But still, it's to me. I'm glad you said that because I kind of think for the WNBA when they get these two in the league, they kind of need to play that up. If you ask me,
yeah, they need to play in the same conference and play each other all the time. But opposite conference.
Try to meet in the finals. Oh, I like that. But still, like I said, if I ask you to name a college basketball player who currently plays right now, her name is the first one you can think of.
It is.
And that says a lot.
I wonder, they should have her. I know she's in season, but man, I would like to see her in a three-point contest with Steph and the other chick, too.
The other chick would be Sabrina Ionescu.
Yeah, Sabrina. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them in there.
On the baseball front. So did you hear about Rob Manfred? He is commissioner of baseball for now. Since 2015, he has been, but he's letting everybody know that he will be done in the near future. The near future would be in 2029.
Look, I'm 65, okay? I just started a five-year term. Do that math, right? That makes me 70 years old. Can only have so much fun in one lifetime. I have been open with them about the fact that this is going to be my last term. You know, I said it to them before the election in July, and I'm absolutely committed to that.
Go hang out with Bill Belichick? But is this shocking news, though?
No, he's just going to be 70 years old.
He's going to be 70. Okay. I would think the league would probably want to get somebody younger.
And you know what's crazy? Manfred is the same age as Ice-T. Damn. Damn. Ice-T's still going to be on Law and Order. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, probably. It's a different kind of work, though. Baseball is like, come on. You think he ever has a happy day at work? He's always dealing with something with that sport, and it's continues to moonwalk too, which is a bit of a problem.
Damn! If I told you that they were the same, him and Ice-T was the same age,
you wouldn't believe it.
You'd be like, man, what?
But if you look at him, he looks younger than Ice-T.
Yeah, Ice-T.
He does. Like, Ice-T definitely is showing his age.
You know, them light breads don't age well. You know what I'm saying?
Seriously, that is audio files. I wouldn't know, Bart.
Well, you ain't light bread.
I'm not light bread.
You white bread.
Yes.
Light bread is that honey wheat. You know, so you think about like El DeBarge. You think about Ice Tea. You think about Busy Bone. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Who else a little light bread? T.I.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's
like,
he's
aging poorly.
Well, he like yellow bread. He like yellow bread.
Gotcha.
Who else is light bread? Help me out, Jake.
Drake gonna
age hard.
I mean, you said T.I. I was thinking about his wife, Tiny.
Oh yeah, Tiny. Yo, he took a picture of Tiny and they put her on every meme ever, man. They made her like the oatmeal man, like because she had a little mustache. He took a picture of her and he should have never put that out, man. That meme is just as big as the Jordan meme and black.
Is it? You'll have to send it to me. Because I don't think I know.
Jay, get it, man. And okay. Understand that this is T.I.'s wife, and he took the picture and posted it. Right. And people just put her face on everything.
800-919-3776. We will continue with, or we get back to your calls in the Power Hour. We were saying yesterday how Gerrit Cole needs to speak like a leader. Yesterday he did. Wait, you hear some of the stuff he had to say about the Yankee organization. And it was all true, all right, and hopefully they're listening. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, before we get into all the Yankee stuff and Gerrit Cole and everything else, let's go back to the phones, 800-919-3776. We have Roxanne in New Jersey.
Roxanne.
Yes, gentlemen.
Be your man.
How are you?
I am fine, but I have to tell you, I love listening to you whenever I can, because even when I disagree, it is always refreshing to hear your opinions, which are so thoughtful. But, Bart, I am seriously annoyed with you.
Oh, and I go for a Tropic Thunder?
No. For something you said early in the week, I just have been so tied up with work, I haven't had a chance to call till now. what it was and why I am offended as a woman and as a person Uh-oh. Is when you were talking about the kiss between Travis and Taylor. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you that women are not fire hydrants on uh-huh. which men should mark their territory mm-hmm. Like how dogs spray fire hydrants. I don't think that passionate displays of butt grabbing are something that should be displayed in public. I thought the kiss was appropriate, and to recommend that that's what he should have done. You know, you guys, and I agree with this, you so often talk and mention the fact, although I don't agree with it 100%, you deplore the fact that sometimes men are shallow. But when you talk about butt grabbing as a sign of marking your territory, what could be more shallow than that?
I'm not marking the territory, Roxanne. I'm being, it's just, and, you know, we have evidence of his last time he won a Super Bowl, he grabbed his girlfriend's butt.
Yeah, but I mean, you said on there something that's how men do it, and that it is a sign of showing other men this mm. is your girl. Mm. And I don't think that it is wise to be encouraging men. If you teach the younger generation signs of respect, teach the boys. Alan, I wish I was so pleased when you said that is not how you would have done. And I just urge you to be careful when you are advocating those kind of public displays. I know you try to be entertaining, and on a certain level it is, but to grab someone's behind is just disrespectful to me in public, and I think to a lot of women. And if somebody did that to me, I would really, I'd let the grabbing be as passionate as you want without the public view. Do you get what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. I just love my wife's butt. It's like, it's just yeah. so soft. It's so beautiful, and it's just like, it's like I just want to touch it all the time. If I could sleep on it, I would sleep on it, Roxanne. I would just lay on it all the time and just kiss it.
Sleep on it, but do it behind your door.
I want everybody to know how much I love it. It's like, listen, this is amazing. It's the soft. Who needs a Tempur-Pedic pillow when you just got this, man? This is all I need.
Yeah, and that's it. That is your pillow at home, but you don't need a pillow in public. That's all I'm saying. And I thought the way he handled it was very sweet. So that's all I have to say. I love you guys.
It was good for her. It was the right thing for her brand too, Roxanne. Right? Like, you don't want it, especially Taylor. Like, that's a whole other animal.
But it's not like I'm saying smack it.
Can I interject now?
I'm not saying smack it.
Yes, please.
Because you know, again, Bart was suggesting for me, and he was saying that to me because I said my wife is a teacher. Like, I'm not doing that now. Like, when we first met, maybe, you know, maybe. But like now, she's a teacher, a mother, all that stuff. And so Bart encouraged it. So I thought, all right, let me give it a shot. You know, let me see. He said it, you know, like, just, so I did. And her first reaction looked at me going, what are you doing?
Exactly.
That's because you haven't went to the altar and prayed to that booty in a long time. You need to go and say, baby, I love every.
He has a lot of fun at home behind a door.
Exactly.
Doing exactly.
And we
got to
lock that door because I have so many damn kids in the house.
Well, there are vacations outside.
Working on that
he
right
can
now.
Find it.
Roxanne,
I love you guys, but that really bothered me.
Okay, we'll take it to like it's the small of the back. Okay, is that okay?
Small
like when you're dancing, the small of the back.
Cause like, yes, I'm good with that.
But I got long arms, so naturally for me to stretch my arms out, it goes straight to the butt.
We appreciate
you can figure it out, Bart. I have high confidence in your ability to figure things out.
I can change.
Auntie Roxanne okay. just had to have it out with you, Bart, and I love it. Thank you, Roxanne. See, like, all right. So we got that opinion. Now we'll see if another woman calls and says that she disagrees with Roxanne.
I just want to know, why did Travis Kelce treat his first girlfriend like that?
Yeah, there is video evidence.
And he didn't do it with the other girlfriend. Is it because she had a big butt?
No, I think it's the brand thing. I think for Taylor, you just don't do that with Taylor publicly because there's a huge following, and then you know what can happen, and it turns into a controversy that nobody wants to deal with.
Yeah,
that's why. So you just give her a kiss and move
you know
on.
What?
Whatever you're going to do, you're going to do in private.
I got it because he didn't want to grab it in case one of her butt pads stays stuck up or something.
You did go.
So that's what it is. Yeah, that's why. It's because of the butt pads. The other girl didn't have no butt pads. She just had butt.
You just had to go there, didn't you? 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll continue with your calls.
The Swifties, Alan's
with me
too.
If you want to add to this with Roxanne and you think that she's right or wrong or any of that stuff, if you want to scold Bart on the air, you certainly have the ability to do that. We'll do that. But I do think, though, we did talk about it yesterday. Gerrit Cole, yesterday, his address, we had some of it, but we didn't have all of it. What we've got for you, though, from yesterday is him speaking like a leader. And that's not just talking about what he should do and the teammates. This had to do with the whole organization, and the Yankees desperately need these types of voices, him and Aaron Judge. Well, Cole stepped up yesterday. Wait till you hear what he has to say about the Yankees and their injury issues. Strong statements coming next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. While the Yankees head into the season, barring any other moves, with lots of questions behind Gerrit Cole in their starting rotation. Earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said their success, the Yankees' success, could hinge on Carlos Rodon.
I don't think there's a more important player to any team of not knowing what they're going to do and how badly you need that guy to produce than Rodon with the Yankees.
Well, not just produce at a high level. Once you get past Gerrit Cole, man, there are some serious question marks once you get past Gerrit Cole.
There's a lot of guys who are like, yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. But I think Rodon is the one guy that can be a legitimate number two.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.